Okay, Aaron and Brittany, thank you for taking some time out of your spare time here to visit with us. I know you're both busy. We have been visiting with our families who come about this summer and fall from different kinds of life experiences, and you guys bring some things that other families with children are going through, but also in your work life, certainly a perspective that's different. So thank you for taking the time. First off, your little children have been an encouragement to a lot of us during this period of time. I've got a bookmark from William and Titus and McKinley. So, Brittany, what's it been like for you with the kids during this time? Has this brought any changes in schedule for them, or no, special challenges?
A little bit. We homeschool. We do a hybrid homeschool, yeah. So. We were maybe a little more used to being home because of that. You know, they do go two days. So, being home every day was a little bit different, but, I think probably the biggest thing was not having any sports or any activities, you know, and yeah. I know people have said that it yeah. just, you know, you're just home all day.
Yeah.
I mean, we still enjoyed it. They love to be outside, so they played and things. But I don't know, the evening activities, that was very different.
Right. Yeah. So you've helped with is it first grade here
yes.
where you've helped
yes.
with the teaching? So I know you and Gina have done some things along mm-hmm. with others that have helped with the kids. I've seen the kids' songs and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how is that still going, or is that something that's been hard to keep going?
You know, we haven't done that in a couple weeks, mm-hmm. but we Gina especially, I give her most of the credit, but she does these great slideshows, mm-hmm. you know, with the Bible stories, and we enjoyed them too, and then we'd sing some songs to go along with it, you know, my kids. But that's been hard, not being at class.
Right.
You know,
it's been hard as a congregation.
Sure.
I know it has been for everybody.
Sure.
Aaron, you're in your work in the medical profession. Tell our people what it is exactly that your specialty is.
So I do ear, nose, and throat work, so mm-hmm. ENT.
Mm-hmm. So while you guys have been going through this, even though you may not be directly involved with the infectious disease part of it, have you had to test or do things like that with patients to check about this?
So you're right. I haven't had a lot of direct contact with COVID positive patients, but our testing primarily for our patients is preoperative. So for any elective surgery in patients 2 years of age and older, we do test, you know, and fortunately, none of my personal patients have tested positive
okay.
thus far in doing that. But we've had that going now for quite some time. Of course, the elective cases were all on hold. You know,
right.
when things were at their most worrisome time.
Right. How has it impacted, like your patients and your coworkers in terms of schedules and the numbers of people and the whole system who showed up for care? Has it changed all of that for you guys?
It was a pretty, you know, as you would expect, significant change. You know, during the period of most heightened concern, where really we weren't seeing folks unless it was urgent or emergent. We weren't doing cases unless it really fell into those categories. And so for patient care, it really did delay folks coming in, you know, for a number of things. So we really tried to ramp up and catch up on that backlog as quickly as possible. And it's been very busy.
Yeah.
As far as coworkers goes, we've, you know, like many hospitals, the institution had to make some changes and unfortunately furloughed a number of folks, and some positions were eliminated. We had two eliminated in our office, one speech language pathologist that was really key to our practice for
right.
20 years, and then one nurse practitioner. So,
I see.
You know, everyone's just tried to kind of fill in the gaps and voids and step up. And so just working through that challenge right now.
Has it been hard, like, to worry about whether what happens at work comes home to the kids in a situation like this? Have you had to worry about whether what was going to happen with Aaron and his work during this time?
A little bit, yeah. There's been definite periods of uncertainty and not knowing what's going to happen.
And it's still that way.
Sure, it really is.
I know, Brittany, I know you're a nurse also, and your mother and where they live is in Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, yes, sir.
And so have they... where she works and the rest of your family, have they had a lot of outbreaks of these cases in that area too?
They have quite a number. And my mom is a nurse. You may have said that, but she is a director for population health care coordination there at Vanderbilt. And so when, things started really getting bad back in March. The CEO of Vanderbilt wanted all patients that tested positive throughout the Vanderbilt system, anywhere, to be contacted. And mom basically headed that up, her team.
Right.
And so at that time, there were about 6,000 positive patients in the system, and he wanted them contacted. And so they started that process, and my dad said she was basically working 24/7, and she was super busy, but they've done an amazing job at calling and keeping up with patients. And
so they're all doing okay. Your mom and all of your family.
They're doing great.
And
yes.
You got a new nephew.
My sister's a nurse too, and she was involved, but because she was pregnant, she was exempt from actually seeing patients. And so she did telehealth up until, and now she has the baby, so she's staying home.
So we're grateful that things are as well as they are with your families.
Sure, thank you.
What concerns do you think, do you see us still having with as this situation continues to develop? Both in the work situation and while you guys are planning the fall activities for your children.
Sure.
I think trying to make wise judgments on how cautious we need to be, you know, and I know that that's something that you and Justin, the elders, are considering a great deal with, you know, worship, gathering, as you mentioned a moment ago, classes, trying to make wise decisions there. So that's just the big challenge, isn't it?
You know,
trying to figure out.
With the unknowns and trying to be responsible in terms of the gatherings and not contributing to infections and so forth. Mm-hmm. I know in your work and in ours too. So what about the kids' activities? Will it go on still a hybrid type situation?
That is the question right now. I'm trying to decide.
Are they getting to do? I know your kids are involved in activity, sports and
they're
stuff.
They're involved in sports, and right now it's going okay. They're doing baseball, and they can reasonably as much as kids can.
Yeah.
So the social distance of that, but. I don't know with the fall. I'm very curious to see what will happen as, you know, the flu starts up and all of that, and how people will know what's what.
We all are.
Yeah.
Have your kids asked any questions about all of this? Or do they take it in stride? Or does any of this stuff make them stop?
They take it in stride.
They really have. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's because he does what he does, but they just, they've done really well with it, you know.
So I wonder if you guys are thinking about all of the stuff that is happening right now, not in your lives just, but in all of our lives right now, if there is a lesson that you think we should take from all of this, if there is something that you think we might need to be reminded of while we're dealing with all of this or from it. Could you pick one out? One thing?
I feel like it's been said before, but I don't know. I just think about the importance of relationships, you know, and I think we've had to be more intentional about keeping in contact. And I know people have said that, but I just have really
seen. It's true.
Seen, just how, like the Bible classes and using the technology, the online, I know that is just, been huge having the online services, and our kids look forward to those. But you know, people texting and checking in and the calling tree.
The relationship part of it is the part of it that we have to try to maintain.
Sure.
Yeah. So, how about from your perspective, Aaron? You.
So, you know, one thing you can't help but think is that. You know, ultimately we just have to be in a right relationship with God, because we know that specifically with this pandemic, those with, you know, that are greater at greater risk due to their comorbidities, you know, are certainly need to be more cautious. But we do see cases where people without any pre-existing conditions do not fare well. And so, you know, I think it's made all of us rethink, you know, the how life can be uncertain. And so reminding us of eternal matters.
Yeah, the plans go so far, but there are lots of things that we sure didn't plan for when we started planning for 2020. I've also been asking our families, what's a good thing that you have noticed? Not that any of this is good, but but can you discover some good things from it that come to your mind?
I think kind of along with what I was saying about how people have found other ways to reach out, and you know how nice it is to get a text or a call and know that somebody's thinking about you, you know, and I know several people have said too, but family, how important family is and being with your family through this.
I agree.
The resourcefulness of, you know, the brothers and sisters here and all the encouraging things have been done, and you know, you guys put on Camp Wilderness.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cool for me watching them do it, but it might not have been cool out in the wilderness where they were.
They loved it.
Kids enjoyed it.
They loved it. It was great. They looked forward to it, and you know, it would have been fun anyway, but especially with us not having classes and things, a way for them to get together and do that.
I think it'll be memorable, too, in that way. And I've appreciated seeing stuff like that happen that's memorable. Mm-hmm. Aaron, you serve as one of our deacons, and thank you for that. But one of the ways that you and Brittany have helped us is to try to have a footprint of involvement in some way in our community life. And that also has been something that's been a little bit more difficult to plan during this time, but tell us some of the things, like right now with Weaver, that type of thing.
Right now I think probably most folks know we're doing getting some school supplies together for one of our elementaries in town, schools in town. So I meant to check the sign up list on the way. There may still be some opportunity there. And then just this afternoon, Brittany reached out to the Veterans Coming Home Center to see, hey, do we still have the opportunity to go over and help serve meals to the homeless and underserved? And yes, we do.
Okay.
So we need to pick a date. That will be forthcoming. They're doing it outside.
Okay.
So we'll plan to get that on the calendar.
But you guys have coordinated that type of thing for us. And it means a lot to have an outlet to our compassion, our concern for people, and we appreciate you doing that.
Well, honestly, we are just the messengers, and I don't just say that with false humility. I mean, our congregation comes together to cook so many meals for that and buy so many supplies and serve, and so we're super grateful to everyone who's been involved. Yeah. And for those who haven't done it yet, we'd strongly encourage that.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I know our people do and will help with those things. So about the spiritual aspects of this in terms of keeping yourself well in all of this and trying to stay connected with the church, did you all... while we were not able to meet, were you able to do the live stream stuff with us? Yeah.
I can't believe it. With our internet in Rogersville, we have issues sometimes, but we were able to, so it was great.
So in terms of the kids' classes, you mentioned a while ago that one of our concerns is how to provide for that going forward, and it's a time when we still are having a number of reported cases of this. The kids, are they able to do the online stuff with the spiritual things and still kind of stay with us with that, or does the online stuff get to be too much after a while?
We've done pretty well with it. We've tried to just, you know, tell them this is what we're doing, and for them to treat it like they were. It's a little different at home,
yes.
You know, more relaxed,
yeah.
And they want to get up and go do something. So to make them know this is worship, you know, like we would be at the building.
Yeah.
So, but they've done pretty well with it, and they've enjoyed as far as the classes, like Gina's, what Gina's put together. They love, you know, looking at those.
Very
so
good.
Brag on her because she's great at using their, you know, children's Bible storybooks and having lessons all the time. She'd never tell you that, but that's a daily routine.
What about connections with grandparents with them? I know that both grandparents are important in the lives of your children, and your folks have come when they could.
Mm-hmm.
So has this interfered with those types of visits, have they been as just like they would have been?
Early on, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. We went through that first little period where we were trying to be cautious, and so yes, we were missing that for sure. But recently, I feel like we've gotten to see them a lot more, and
very good. So, have you guys had any big plans that have gotten changed? Any vacation time at all for the Morrisons this summer? Or has all that stuff had to be adjusted like many other families, I'm sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, really, we had a spring break trip planned with her family right as this was all going down, of course, and had a VRBO out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the owner did not see our side of the equation, so we may have lost some funds there.
Yeah, may have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least you're all well.
And
you can still do it.
Exactly.
You can still do it in the future.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we've tried while we've been going through this to think of ways in which people younger than us and older than us in the congregation have impacted our lives, and the way that we've seen things in their lives while this has been happening that have been encouraging to us.
Mm-hmm.
Could you pick out some? We've already mentioned a little bit the creativity of different ones of our people, but can you think of ways that you things that you see and people either younger or older than you guys that have been you've been grateful for?
Yeah.
It's a hard question.
Of some of the other young children who are sending encouraging notes to our kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's really neat.
So your kids get notes from other kids?
That
is
so good. McKinley's gotten several notes from McKenna, and she will open those up and so excited. One's on the refrigerator right now, actually.
Very good.
That is, and I think of Carrie. So Carrie's just, you know, Carrie. He's just so good at keeping in touch. But he'll check in, and he's even FaceTimed the kids, you know, especially when we couldn't see them, and just that's an encouragement.
Yeah. And, and we won't go into whether he's on the older end or
the we won't discuss right. that. Oh, no.
And our dentist wants us to thank him too, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
The candy man.
I think Carrie just wants your kids to help him with remember the words of the songs. Any passages of scripture or anything like that have any of them kind of come more to your mind while we've been kind of going through this, either of you?
Yeah, I love Philippians, and so I've thought a lot about Philippians 4:6-7, about to not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will guard your hearts and minds. And it's hard not to be anxious during this and with the uncertainty. So I've just thought about that a lot, that, you know, if we'll go to him, that he will give us that peace. Just thinking about the peace has been very comforting.
That's a great point. And I agree that the teaching about not being anxious is either easier to read or to teach than it is to practice. But that passage has been mentioned by several of our people, I think, because of that. What about you, Aaron? Anyone that's your favorite during this time?
You know, just one of the kind of longstanding favorites, which I think has been a recurring theme, is Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yes.
In fact, I think it was part of last week.
There was, yes.
Yeah. You mentioned it's some of the kids wrote it on the floor near your desk. So, so that's just kind of one of those that stands with you in Romans 8:28. I think our favorites for all of us, probably.
Yeah. The idea that God can bring good, he can work it together and bring good from it, but that's important to remember. It'll be interesting to see what all that is as we're still going on here. Any special songs? I know you're a singer, and I've heard some of our people say that some of the songs have gone through their minds. Allison mentioned it last week.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm thinking of all the children's songs that we've been singing with the kids. You know, one of my favorite songs was one that I used to sing with my granddaddy, my dad's dad, and we would ride the riding lawnmower together and sing it at the top of our lungs, and I'm sure everybody could hear us miles away, but it's Some Glad Morning, and just, you know, just it's just a happy song, thinking about, you know, heaven and so that's what would come to my mind.
Yeah, the happy songs
You know, their family recorded some a cappella songs several years back, and they have one, you know, where they actually have an audio tape of his singing at the very end. It's it's touching. It's really neat. Right at the end of the song, you hear
it. I'd like to hear that sometime. One of the things I've been asking about, and I'd like to have your perspective on this, and I've noticed a difference in talking with our families about how we take in and process all of the information about current events and the news and that kind of stuff, and you know, it kind of ranges from kind of not paying any attention to it at all to having it around a lot and then trying to figure out what to do about it. What's your view about how you guys do it? How do you stay informed enough without being overwhelmed by it?
Well, you know, I think we're just kind of following trying to follow the guidelines that have been set forth locally and not stress too much more, you know, more than necessary over things in the grand scheme. I don't know if this directly relates, but we get little emails from Mercy periodically, and one today showed that there are 27 cases at Mercy, 6 patients in the ICU, 4 intubated. So, you know, it sounds like numbers have gone up a little bit from where they were, but you know, I think we're all just trying to take the normal precautions and yeah. And not try and lose too much sleep over it.
Yeah.
I don't mean to minimize it, but, you know, it's not healthy to be overly anxious.
Right.
So aware but not anxious. In other words, we go on living our lives as best we can, taking the precautions that we're asked to take.
Right.
What are your hopes going forward? What do you guys hope happens for, like, with the kids' school and with the work and with the congregation even? What are your fondest hopes looking forward?
Just to be able to have the activities, yeah. You know. I think you don't realize how much you miss them until, like, you do something like the Camp Wilderness mentioned, and you see the kids interacting and
the bright
having
eyes,
fun,
the
and
bright
yes, eyes. And yeah, Justin is so great with them, but singing those songs and they, you know, having fun, and I think just being able, especially for them, I just think about the kids. This is for them to be able to do their activities is probably my biggest hope.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
I'd agree. I mean, moving more towards getting the congregation back together as fully as possible in a safe manner.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So with the work and the illness and that we're dealing with right now, have you noticed, Erin, a change, or even Brittany with your mother, that one of the things that's been hard has been how do we keep up with the info, accurate information about these kinds of things? Have you noticed that change any over these last 4 or 5 months now?
Well, one thing that we were really worried about, this may be more specific than you're asking, but within ENT, you know, exposure to the virus, the load can be pretty significant in COVID-positive patients in the nasopharynx, the back of the nose. And so procedures were like sinus surgery or flexible laryngoscopy, or pass a flexible scope through the nose, you know, down into the airway, were of great concern to us. There was a case in China where during a sinus surgery, many people in the operating room were reportedly infected, some of whom died. Mm-hmm. And so that was very worrisome.
Of course.
Yesterday I saw an article that said flexible laryngoscopy is not an aerosol generating procedure. That's not that worrisome. So we were very worried about that. And now it sounds like maybe that isn't so worrisome. So that's a very specific answer to your question.
But it's an example, though. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What about with your mom's?
I think for her, I think people are becoming more educated in what they should do now.
Because
at the beginning, when they would call patients, they were so scared.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, talk to them about self-isolating and you know, when it was so new. And some patients also didn't realize how serious it was. So there was that side, too. And in fact, they had a 36-year-old who was healthy, but he was having shortness of breath, and they were telling him he needed to go, and he didn't think he did because he was healthy, and they said you need to go, and he ended up intubated and thankfully survived and he's okay. But I think that now people know a little bit more of what to do, and they know they need to isolate, and if they're having any problems breathing or whatever, they need to go right then. And so that, I think, is better.
I hope so, too. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, is that the alarm without being apathetic about it. There's another kind of part of this I kind of wanted to ask about is I've noticed that as I talk with people, everybody pretty much wants all of this to be over and us be back to normal. Do you see, from what you guys are in a position to know, is there an end of this in sight, or is this like a cycle of an illness that will, I know this is out of your field, but just a perspective on it, is this something we're going to just be dealing with for a while.
It certainly feels that way, seeing what the numbers have done recently. So it would seem too optimistic to think that it's just going to die out quickly, you know.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We hope so, but it does. You know, I think kind of you said, you know, the hope was that we just get through the pandemic, the worst part, and it would be done, but it just doesn't seem to be.
Right. It's not cooperating
right,
that way.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Aaron, your family has been involved in with the church down in Hollister for a long time. Are they all doing well? And your dad and them, they're doing okay?
They're doing well. Both my folks and my grandpa, who's 95, he's been ultra cautious. But they're all doing well. And grandpa really stays plugged in. He's always forwarding emails to us. And
medical,
he's
usually.
He's a retired doc. So
keeping you posted.
We actually need him here to answer.
We do. Yes, he would do a great job.
Is the congregation, their congregation doing well? Have they had any illness there too?
Any positives within the Hollister congregation?
I don't think so. Okay. I believe the Branson congregation did have, but I don't think within the Hollister.
Okay. But they're meeting and everything.
They are.
Okay, good.
They are. Still doing online.
Yeah.
As
what
well.
About your folks' congregation at home?
They are meeting and then doing the online as well. And they have been affected. They've had some positive. Mm-hmm. It's Creef Hall, so it's a big congregation there in Nashville. And unfortunately, they have had some positives within the congregation. So,
well, our prayer is that we all are through this period of time in good shape before too long.
Right. Sure.
But that in the meantime, we can live for the Lord and know He's going to be with us and try to love each other and help each other along. And thanks to your family for helping us do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Done. So. What has been one passage for you, my friend, that has really
one helped? Passage for me that I think has been the most important, that's kind of stuck in my mind for some reason, is just the importance of Matthew 7:12, which is the golden rule.
Yes.
And that's I've tried to remind myself, no matter what else happens, this is the first thing for us to try to do in terms of our everyday stuff. I'm not going to say I've succeeded at that all the time, but I still think for some reason that's come to my mind most.
Yeah.
And I've been most grateful just to see our people who have gone ahead and have done what needed to be done and all of that. We've got people who are getting ready for a wedding and all that kind of thing right now.
Yeah.
So.
I'm glad
for the families who've kept on serving in one way or another.
And we've had baptisms during this time.
And the elders, they've done
a great job. I'm grateful
really
for
it.
We've had, four or five families now who've suffered losses. We've had three new sisters in the Lord during this time, and some good things have been going on.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the visit with you guys,
I'm
grateful for your work both in the church and in the community.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
You're welcome.